Hope is a funny thing. You cannot see it, you cannot smell it, and you cannot touch it. You cannot buy it, but without it, you cannot go on even one day. Many people go to work with some aspect of hope that it would be better than yesterday. Somehow, they are just hoping that. If we are not allowed to have hope in our lives, there would be a massive suicide everywhere because of despair. Folks, hope is a vital thing. We need for survival, whether it is a physical or spiritual. I got this article from the newspaper, January 6, 2006, in Sago, West Virginia. You guys remember this situation. As Martin Toler Jr. hurtled with 11 fellow miners trying to shelter from the poisonous air in one of the farthest reaches of the Sago mine. He took an insurance form and a pencil from his pocket. In faint sentences of farewell and religious conviction, he let his family know that the death as it approached came gently. "Tell all," he writes, "I see them on the other side." Toler, a 51-year-old miner, a mine foreman, wrote. Nearby were the words, "It wasn't bad. I just went to sleep." At the bottom, it says, "I love you." I don't know whether Martin Toler was saved or not, but when he wrote this, he lost hope. Physically and emotionally. Physical hope is not as crucial as a spiritual hope, folks. The spiritual hope can be achieved through knowing Jesus Christ as the personal Savior and Lord. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, that we are going to study today, Paul assured that our hope is in God, will never disappoint us. Heaven is not wishful thinking, but it is the certainty. It is backed by God, who knows all things, who always keep his promises. The great reformer Martin Luther said about the chapter 5 of the book of Romans in this way: "In the whole Bible, there is hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant text." So let's go to chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have," which underline, "peace with God." That is so important. "Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also," which underline next three words, "we have access." We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Would you underline that, please? "This grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of eternity." I'm sorry, rather, "hope of glory of God." Underline "hope of glory of God." Bible doesn't say that we should have a peace with the devil, or peace with the world, or peace with the flesh, or even peace with the sin. For that matter, we must have a peace with God if we want to be in heaven. Did you know that while we are unbelievers, we were at war with God because we were not following God's law? And condemnation means that God declared us sinners, which is a declaration of war. Justification means that God declares us righteous, which is the declaration of peace made possible by God, Jesus Christ's death on the cross and the resurrection. You may say that, "I thought the Bible said there is no condemnation." That is absolutely true. But you have to read the rest of the verses. Romans 8:1, please. Go to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you notice that? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not for everyone, but those who made a peace with God. And the verse continues, who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Folks, the Lord our God removed His condemnation from us when we came to Him through Jesus Christ. If you don't have a Jesus in your heart as the Lord and Savior, it means that you are not a born-again Christian. From what we just learned, you are still condemned by the law, and you cannot have a peace with God. The Jews were kept from the entering into the Holy of Holies in the temple in the time of until the AD 70, until the Roman General Titus didn't demolish the temple and the Jerusalem. They were able to go into the temple and the inner court, but they could not walk into the Holy of Holies. And Gentiles were kept out of the wall in the temple with a warning on it that any Gentile who went in beyond the outer court would be killed. But at that moment, Jesus died on the cross in the ninth hour, which was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The veil was separated the Holy of Holies from the inner court of the temple was torn from top to bottom to give an access to the presence of God for the Jews and Gentile alike who put the trust in them. Who put the trust in God. It was not torn from bottom to top like a man would do, but it was torn from top to bottom. God was tearing that separation and saying, you can come in. Folks, peace with God take care of the past. He will no longer hold our sin against us. I ask you on the line, access to God. Take care of the present. We can come to Him at any time for the help we need. We don't need to go through anybody else. We can come to God directly and any time. Hope of glory of God takes care of future. One day we will share in His glory. What does it mean, this grace in which we stand? Many Christians begin their Christian journey with God's grace without work, which is absolutely the right thing to do. But as they grow in the Lord, they start to think that they have to go on to perfection and maturity by dealing with God on the most principle of law through their work. Somehow they think that they just have to make those brownie points. Let me give you the few thoughts regarding this grace in which we stand. Here's the first one. I don't have to prove I'm worthy of God's grace. You know why? Is it because I'm not worthy to start with? I was a sinner, you were a sinner, and we don't deserve grace of God. Despite of that, God gave us His grace. Second thought we should have for this grace in which we stand is, God is my friend. God is my friend. In the book of John, Gospel of John, Jesus said to His disciple, I no longer call you servant, but I call you my what? Friend. Very good. Third thought I would like to show you is the door of access is permanently open to Him. The door of access to God is permanently open to Him. Does it mean we can do whatever we want to do, still have a grace of God with us? First of all, if you really receive the saving grace of God, if you are standing in His grace, you would not want to do anything to displease God with your sin. You would do right things because you love God, not because you need to earn His brownie point. By the way, God does not keep brownie points at all. Besides, I ate all the brownies. So what kind of mindset should we have? Be certain of God's future favor, yet to be more tender, ever more tender in conscience toward Him. Second thing is to rely on God's chastening hand as a mark of His kindness. He's not one of the, you heard this analogy. God is not sitting at the edge of the cloud to just whack us with His 2x4. He chastened us because He loved us. Let's go to verse 3 of chapter 5. Not only that, we also glory in the tribulation, and knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Some of your versions said patience. That is a great translation also. Just because we accept the grace of God and receive Jesus in our heart, it doesn't mean that we would have a trouble-free life. As humans live together, there are problems among us. Wherever the humans are, there's a problem. And you don't believe that? You were born yesterday. But now, in addition to our normal trial and tribulation in our lives, Satan hates us because we decide to follow Jesus. You didn't actually think that Satan would just sit on his hand and chew you and say, "Atta boy, you go follow Jesus, hoorah!" You didn't think that he would say that to you, do you? He is absolutely against you because he loves you now. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have a tribulation. Note that word, in you will have a tribulation. And right there, it's not great, the great tribulation, the 7-year tribulation after the rapture is going to happen. No, that's not. This is just another trial, another difficulty people go through. In the world you will have a tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But for the believers, folks, for the believers, the trial works for him, not against him. No amount of suffering can separate us from the Lord. And instead, the trials bring us close to the Lord and make us more like the Lord. Suffering builds Christian character. Please note that how the sequence goes. Tribulation, patience, proving character, and hope. It starts with the tribulation when the people patiently persevere and we get to have a godly proven character, and that brings hope in our heart. Our English word tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum, T-R-I-B-U-L-U-M, tribulum. In Paul's day, a tribulum was a heavy piece of timber with a spike in it, used for the threshing the grain. Tribulum was drawn over the grain and it separated wheat from the chaff. As we go through the tribulation, we depend on God's grace. The trials only purifies us and help us to get rid of the chaff. There are many parallel verses in the Bible for the trials and tests. Let's go to the James 1, chapter 2 and 3. James 1, 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produce patience. Rejoicing in tribulation? Are you losing your mind? Or maybe, half-brother James, maybe he got tortured one too many times and he was suffering some brain damage. It doesn't make sense to say to count it all joy when you fall into the various trial. Joy and tribulation seems like oil and water to me, right? We can understand that. When we endure suffering in faith, listen carefully, please. When we endure suffering in faith, we learn perseverance. Persevering, in turn, produces proven godly character. Character that has passed the test, so to speak, then their character brings forth the hope that reminds us in this way. Because God, who is developing our character in the present time, can be relied on our future too. Yes, we can trust Him all the time. This brings hope and joy to our heart. Verse 5. Now, the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. A little over a month before he died, the famous atheist Jean-Paul Sartre declared that he so strongly resisted the feeling of despair that he would say to himself, "I know I shall die in hope." Then, in profound sadness, he would say, "But hope needs a foundation." Jean-Paul Sartre did not have that foundation to put the hope in. He did not have anything, and all his life he insists that God is dead, God is not existing. Now all of a sudden, as he faced the death, he's in despair. Why? Because deep down in his heart, he knew there is God. When we have a hope in God, nothing can shake us, nothing can terrify us. Because He guards our heart, He let us know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He reminds us that He loves His love for us. And He becomes our song in the dark night. He put the melody of hope and joy in our heart to sing praise to Him. This is something unbelievers cannot fathom. In chapter 16 of the book of Acts, Apostle Paul, the jailbird, end up in the jail in the Philippi with his sidekick Silas. You know, whenever he goes to another town, the first thing he does before he goes to the synagogue, he visits the jail. Yeah, this is a good place to stay overnight, because he goes to jail as often as he visits the next town. Wouldn't you know, he goes to the synagogue and start to talk about Jesus Christ, and the people riot, and he end up in the jail of the Philippi. Around the midnight, because the hope and the joy that welled up in his heart, their heart for the Lord, they start, these two guys, whose legs and hands were fastened in the stock, start singing praise songs, holding the praise concert. The Father in heaven heard their worship and tapped his foot a little too hard and hold down. He ended up making an earthquake in the prison. I'm sure he was doing toe tapping, knee slapping, hand clapping thing. And what happened to Paul and the Silas? They bolted out of the jail? No, they stayed inside. And the Philippi jailer who came to the jail and realized that all the prison doors were open, so he drew his sword, tried to commit suicide because it would be his responsibility to keep those jail inmates inside of jail. He assumed that they all escaped. When Apostle Paul told him, "No, we are all here," and jailer came to him and fell on his face in front of Apostle Paul, what should I do to be saved? Folks, how could they sing those hymns and praise songs while they are bound in the stock? Were they a couple of fruitcake from the California? No, they got to learn about joy and hope in God. Paul and Silas learned that. It doesn't matter how spiritually mature you think you are, while you're going through trials and tribulation, if your response is like a roller coaster from one mountaintop experience to the dark valley, then you are not mature as you want others to believe or you think. True spiritual maturity displays its best when the trials and tribulations are at their worst. You can find your rest in the shelter of Almighty God in the presence of your enemy. Does this mean those whose emotion goes up and down have no chance of becoming spiritually mature people? Absolutely not. It all depends on your decision to look at the situation. You can look at it as a disadvantage and difficulty, or you can see it as a heavenly advantage like Apostle Paul did often. Same wedge can separate the wood, also it can bind it. Same trials and temptations, same trials and tribulation that can separate us from God also bring us back, keep us close to God. Guess who makes the choice? We do. I'm sure you all heard this same sun that hardened the clay can melt the wax. Would you be clay to harden your heart, or would you be the wax and melt your heart unto God? Does this mean those who have the emotion going, as I said, they cannot be a mature people? No, you can do. You can choose to be a mature person. How do we do that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Apostle Paul had a lot of theologians believe that he had eye disease. And it bothered him so much, so he prayed, continuously prayed for 3 times in a row, and God spoke to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, and for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So he stopped. It's something he had to live with to keep him humble, because there were so many revelations was given to Apostle Paul that beyond human's word. To keep him humble, the thorn in the flesh was given to him. Meeting every situation with hope and joy in our heart isn't denial of the trouble. It helps us to see those situations from the God's perspective, as an opportunity to discover His power and love. Every time we express gratitude to God in difficult situations, we declare God is alive. Man's disappointments are often God's appointment with us. The things we believe are tragedy may be the very opportunity through which God chooses to exhibit His love and grace to us. The people, when the people are broken before the Lord, they become better and more effective Christian than if they carried out all their plan and the purposes. For a Christian, wholeness always comes after brokenness. Let me repeat one more time. For a Christian, wholeness always comes after brokenness. Let's make an application. Number one, if you have gone through the unspeakable difficulty the Lord your God specially designed for you, now you are equipped with to minister to others as God has ministered to you. Second application. If you are going through a horrible valley of shadow of death now, please remember that He is with you no matter what, and He is shaping you and molding you to give you hope and joy in your heart. Third application. If you are going to go through another difficulties in the future, please remember that God will not give you more than you can bear. Alright? So it's not anything never happened to any humankind. We all go through. It might be different degree, but we all go through. Let's stand up and pray.